Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. My name is Patrick Conley. I'm pleased to be with you. I'm glad that you've tuned in to join us here on the Rediscover Hour. We're all about helping Catholics rediscover the depths and the riches of their Catholic faith, and hopefully helping others, too, who might not be Catholic or might not even be Christian, to understand a little bit more about what God is doing in and around our midst here and helping us to better give glory to Him and give thanks to Him for all that He does. Not just in the area, not just in the church, but in our individual lives as well, and how He continues to reach out to us in love. We are produced by the Office of Evangelization of the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, and aired here on Relevant Radio, for which we are grateful for giving us the airtime to do so. All right, so we are in the midst of such a great couple of days, great 3 days that are going on this weekend, which is, again, a gift. And I know you're getting tired of me talking about this, but I'm always talking about the liturgical calendar. That's kind of what I kick off with. Well, we've got kind of a coming together and a going apart, as it were. So today is the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you've got Elizabeth and Mary coming together, visiting one another in this holy time of their cooperative pregnancies, and that is such a gift that we see this. I'm a convert to the Catholic faith, and one of the things that I have appreciated so much about my Catholic faith is the stuff of it, meaning the physicality of it, the historicity of it, that you see that so vividly within the Catholic Church, and particularly here in the Visitation, you see that as well. That Mary was a true human being. She didn't go around levitating everywhere, and she was 100% fully human, and she comes to visit. She comes to visit her relative Elizabeth, also in this pregnant form. And we get in this encounter such a beautiful, we get a lot of beautiful things, but of course, we get the Magnificat, right? We get the, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And what this prayer of our Blessed Mother, of the Blessed Virgin. And since she is our mother, she passes that prayer along to us, and we can thank her for that. She teaches us, she continues to instruct us. And then we see the infant John, well, not infant, in utero John the Baptist, who leaps for joy at the presence of his Lord Jesus in the womb of his mother Mary. And there is such a connection here that goes on. Just a great picture of how the spiritual influences the physical, and how they are played there. Fearfully and wonderfully made, both body and soul together, and that the soul gives life to the body, but the soul is reliant upon the body. We are body and soul together. All right, so there's so many things, and actually Father John Eckert is going to be with us later in the show to unpack a little bit more about the Visitation and the Ascension, which is a going apart, the Lord giving this commission to his apostles, being taken from their sight, that his physicality disappears in that, but then he gives the promise of his Holy Spirit, which as a Protestant, as an evangelical Protestant, when I was there, I was all on board with that. We understood Pentecost and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on his people, and we understand that continues to this day, that we receive the Holy Spirit. But here's something that I didn't appreciate quite so much as a Protestant, is that Jesus and his promise that he will be with us to the very end of the age, he is with us through the power of his Holy Spirit, without a doubt, but he's also present to us in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, right? He has given us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. He is present. So don't let me catch you saying that these phrases like when Jesus was on earth. Jesus is still on earth. I can show you where he is right now. If you want to come to me with the local Catholic Church, I will point him out in the tabernacle. There he is. He is there. He is present amongst us. And further, He feeds us with that. He feeds us with his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and we are raised up to share in his divine nature, to be participants and partakers of, participants in and partakers of his divine nature. So there's a lot to be going on this weekend. And again, later on in the program, Father John Eckert, a scripture scholar and priest, is going to be with us to talk more about these two great feasts of the Visitation and the Ascension. And actually squeezed in between there, we also have St. Justin. Let's not forget about him, but I'm not going to go into that right now. We've got other things to move on to. We've got a great show in store for us. Joining me is going to be Cindy Keppel, who's the new executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources, and she's going to be sharing some stories about what goes on at Abrea and what makes Abrea unique. So we're glad to have her on the show. A little bit later in the program, Sarah Prudhomme and Maggie Becker from Partnership for Youth are going to be with us to talk about what Partnership for Youth is all about and the upcoming Steubenville conferences and why they are so important. And as I already mentioned, Father Eckert is with us later in the program to talk about the Visitation and the Ascension. Let's, as always, folks, in a spirit of gratitude, raise our hearts and minds to God and give thanks for this opportunity to be together to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we are into our first break. When we come back, Cindy Keppel, the new executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources. Stay with us.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar, a place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Joining me now in studio, Cindy Keppel, who's the new executive director of Abrea Pregnancy Resources. Cindy has served as president of Trondheim Advisory Group, as an executive recruiting consultant serving nonprofit organizations in the Washington, D.C. metro area. And she has 7 children, Grace, Max, Sophie, Maggie, and 3 in heaven with her husband, Tim. Cindy, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Patrick. So happy to be here with you and grateful for this opportunity.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm sure that most of our listeners have probably heard of Abrea before, but they want to know about you and how you got involved. So how did you become the new executive director?
Oh, Abrea has always been on my radar. I've been involved with Abrea and walked at our Fun Run and Walk a number of years, and certainly always loved that it was deeply rooted in our Catholic tradition. And started praying last year a little bit as my 2 oldest went off to college down in South Bend, that where did he want me and in what way could I serve? And reached out to Abrea and kind of started to explore how I could be more a part of it. And came to know that he was calling me to lead it.
Wow.
And as I reflect back on my life and the different experiences I've had, he's made it pretty clear exactly why he's had me walk this journey to be able to walk alongside the women that he has for us that walk in our doors. So just so grateful.
Yeah. What are you excited about in this new position?
Anytime we can empower women through education to make decisions towards the good of their long-term health, that's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing that we can equip them with so that they are the leaders of their life. They are following the direction of truth and walking in the direction of things that are good for them, and they can recognize their own dignity within them. So I'm just excited that the team of 18 women that I have working with me at two clinics on both sides of the river now are on board and on mission and excited to encounter authentically, not in judgment in any way, but just affirming and loving these women that we have walking in our door.
And I know these life-affirming clinics. I know the one in St. Paul is right there near the Planned Parenthood, and the one on the other side of the river. Where is the location of the Minneapolis clinic?
Yeah, our Minneapolis clinic is on the corner of Broadway and Penn.
Oh, yeah, sure. Right.
It's in the largest per capita abortion rate per zip code in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
So we were very intentional. The people before me were very intentional about finding that location where we could be accessible within that area for life-affirming options.
Right. Now, this movie, Unplanned, has come out a couple months ago, and you were telling me before the show began that there's been some reaction here locally, both positive and negative, it sounds like. Tell us some stories about what do you think this movie has has it caused here locally for you?
It's been tremendous. I think in every conversation I have, it seems to surface right away. And I think the thing that anything that can lift the veil from people's eyes and just see the truth of the whole spectrum of options, the whole spectrum of everything that's out there that touches abortion and touches a woman at that point of crisis, and where she might be, what she might be feeling at that moment as she walks in our door. We know all of the women that walk in our door are the same exact woman when they approach us. They're terrified in fear. They can't see a vision for their future going forward. And we're able to talk with them and allow them to see hope and a vision for their new life, whatever that life is. And Unplanned kind of just put out in the mainstream.
Right.
This is what goes on. And I thought it did such a nice job of representing the whole picture. And that's what's opening doors, is that people are saying, "Wow, we're more in the middle than we are on the outside edges of this."
Yeah,
that we all really want to protect and uplift life.
Yeah.
So how can we come together in conversation one on one, so that we can all work together to help that woman as she comes in the door?
Yeah, building bridges for
building
respect
bridges.
The dignity of the woman, right?
Yeah.
Now, with that said, I've seen some stories about you've had people walk right across the street from Planned Parenthood into Abria saying, I don't want to go through with it.
Yeah.
Tell us a story about that.
That's terrific. Yeah, we've had a number in the last few weeks of women, one in particular that came in just a few weeks ago, and she had been sitting waiting for her appointment. She had someone with her who was there to support her, a young man, and she said, "I was just sitting in the waiting room. And I didn't feel right. Something just didn't feel right." And I listened to that, and I got up, and I walked over. She walked in our doors, and we immediately received her. We took her back. We offered her a medical-grade pregnancy test. We had her have a sonogram. And as she sat there, she cried, tears in her eyes. She saw her baby, and she said, "That's my baby." And it just became real to her. What we know from that experience, and we've seen that happen quite a few times in the last few months, what we know from that experience is that even though her heart has changed at that moment, and now what is made clear to her is that it is a child within her, that she leaves and encounters the same pressures that she had prior to coming in that first visit. So we've been very intentional about programming our support services to pair her with a paid client advocate, one of our staff, who will walk with her 8 sessions over a 4-month period, so that when she tells the story the first time, the next time she comes back, she meets that same warm welcome.
She doesn't have to tell the story again.
She doesn't.
That's so. And you were saying before the program, you were saying that this change of heart, change of mind, I mean, it's not usually that quick. It takes that building of trust over time again, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely does. And our intentionality about programming that way and infusing education into our life coaching approach of walking with a woman is what really sets us apart and makes us distinct.
Yeah.
And I think what we're seeing now with two clinics operating, we are really intentional about making sure both are Abria, that there's not two locations and two different ways we do things. But our staff goes back and forth between clinics to make sure, one, we have a new client advocate that is also Spanish-speaking.
Nice.
So we're able to bring that to both of our clinics. but that in both locations, they have the same experience of being received and loved, empowered through education, and given hope and a vision for next steps.
Yeah, love, empowerment, and hope.
That's it.
That's the foundational steps, right, for Abria?
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Now, some of our listeners may have heard, because we were promoting your fun run, and you were telling me some very interesting statistics about this year's fun run. What happened there?
Oh, we're so excited, Patrick. We had a new location. We figured since we crossed over the river, we should cross over the river for the run as well.
But being a St. Paul guy, I got to say, you're going in the wrong direction.
I don't know. Lake Harriet is kind of an icon in the cities,
well,
isn't it?
Well, it is. Okay. Lake Harriet's nice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So we were able to secure Lake Harriet Mother's Day weekend and reached out to a number of people all over the Twin Cities. But I think we've been casting a wider net. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get people to not do things that would polarize, but bring to middle. So we really pushed and promoted the idea of what we do for women, that Abria empowers. The signage around the race was that way. And Abria gives hope, Abria loves. Those are things really important. So when we cast that wider net, we had a number of people that came to the run that didn't know who we were, didn't really know what we were about. Actually, a gentleman came up and said, I traditionally wouldn't align with what I think that you're representing, but because of the way you're approaching this in love, he gave me a huge check of support, which I thought, wow, we are really opening conversations that haven't been opened before.
And yeah.
So to see that, to see 721 people registered and up to 1,000 people who showed up in attendance, we had a huge financial raise, and more than anything, a friend raiser, right? That we're bringing awareness to the way that we encounter women authentically, and everyone can find a happy spot with that. Everyone can kind of come together and go, yeah, that's the right way to treat people, and that's what we're doing.
So a woman comes into an Abria clinic. What does she encounter? What does she experience as she walks into in the midst of a crisis pregnancy? I mean, what does she encounter?
Her encounter. Often we're receiving her through a phone call that she's calling in. She's panicked and she's looking for information, and we have one of our staff that receives her and talks her through some of the options that are ahead of her, and we've had great success in having her then walk in the door. One of the questions that we're asking at the end of that conversation is, do you have a partner? Do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a husband that you'd like to bring along with you on this visit? Mm. And it's doing one of two things. It's giving us information that either she's not in a healthy relationship at all, and no, that isn't a good person to bring along, so then we're better prepared for how to receive her.
Sure.
Or she's saying, really, you can come with me? Mm. And every time I look down the hall in the last few weeks at both clinics, it's not just the woman, but it's the gentleman sitting next to her.
Okay.
So now we have two people who are on this journey together, and we're able to walk with each of them. As she goes back, she's received in, she's taken back in, and she's given a medical-grade pregnancy test, and then scheduled for a sonogram. She meets with that life coach who helps her by asking questions about what her hopes are for her life and helps her to see where she can start to make sense of things a little bit more. If she's homeless, whatever her need is, we start to identify what that is so that we can help resource that for her and then take that off her mind. And then while that gentleman's sitting there, we're really starting to have, that's where we're using volunteers, you know, men who have experienced this before, to give him the language and the power that he needs to support her on her journey.
Yeah.
Often men will say things like, babe, whatever you decide, I support you.
Yeah.
And that's not the language she needs.
No,
you
right.
know, what she needs is, this could be a challenge, but we've got supports at Abria. Yeah. We have people who are loving us, and we can do this together, babe.
Right.
That's a really different conversation.
Absolutely it is.
So they leave together. Now someone else is walking with her, supporting her, and the chances of her coming back are exponentially increased.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. If there are those, you said it's oftentimes the first encounter is through a phone call.
Yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So they'll call up and typically, I mean, if there is a typical, I don't know, but typically they're asking questions. I'm guess they're kind of feeling you out to see if they can trust you, right? I mean, it's all about that trust piece.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So trust is critical in any relationship.
Of course. Yeah.
And in this situation, we have to develop and establish immediate trust that the woman knows we're here and we may be a stranger, but we care.
Yeah.
And that there are people out there, even if your family's cut you off, your friends aren't texting you back, that we are here to receive you. And a few weeks ago, we had a college girl that called in and was panicked. She said, mm-hmm. you know, I was going to be a doctor. My dad has cut me off. My family's cut me off. I had an encounter a few weeks ago with this guy, and I think something went the wrong way, and I'm so scared. And our call center specialist, Haley, was able to talk with her, encourage her to come in and just have a conversation with us. And that is what opens doors, is just that person knowing that even when all the family and all their friends around them who are going on with regular life have stopped being able to really cope with what is ahead of her, that there are people that love her and care for her. And when she comes in, what we hear often is, this is so different than any other place I've been. When I was across the street, it was just very clinical. And mm-hmm. here I feel loved and supported.
Mm-hmm.
And that trust, that immediate trust that happens, and that immediate, you know, it's self-giving love, right? Love mm-hmm. is not love if it's not freely giving. And that's what our staff does, is we are there fully and completely to serve her and walk with her on her journey.
Now, I know that Abria relies a lot on the prayer and financial support of many, many people. So first of all, the question is, of course, how can people find out more about Abria and how to support Abria?
That's great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking. You can go to supporters.abria.org. That's a great place to find information about us.
Okay.
Like I said, we're in two clinics in two parts of the city. So whether you're a St. Paul guy or you're on this side of the river in Minneapolis, we're here to serve your needs. And we are so tremendously grateful for prayers first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
right? And for financial support. 95% of all of our funding is private donor.
Mm-hmm.
I should put a plug in for Catholic United Financial, who is also a co-sponsor of our fund run.
Excellent.
But yeah, that really most of all of our donors are private donors. And to operate a $2 million budget for two fully licensed clinics in two cities, or state-of-the-art medical clinics, mm-hmm. there's nothing but the best for our women coming in the door. To be mindful of that 95% of that funding comes from private donors. We don't accept federal money.
Mm.
We're really in need of your continued financial support.
Great. And I know, knowing that Rediscover Our listeners pray,
yes.
I'm going to ask you, I'm putting you on the spot now in this new position, Executive
yes.
Director of Abria.
Yes.
Cindy, how can people pray for you specifically mm-hmm. in this new position?
I think just pray for joy to be fully present in all of my staff every day. They are that. They live that. We know when they walk in the door, it's already a victory. It's already a victory that morning that they showed up to work.
Yeah.
And every time they encounter a woman in love, that's another victory. So that I would just continue to seek the truth and see the truth, see the beauty and dignity in every person, see the goodness in them. Because I think that's what we're all called to. If we all did that in the world a little more, it'd be pretty nice to live, right?
Amen. Amen. Well, Cindy Keppel, the new Executive Director of Abria Pregnancy Resources, it's been such a great pleasure to have you on the Rediscover Hour. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Just many, many things to pray for there, folks, right? I mean, there's always, especially this, just what Cindy was talking about, this seeing the dignity of each woman who walks through their doors, regardless of any other circumstances going on in her life, that because she is created in the image and likeness of God, and seeing her make a life-affirming choice in that position, we are grateful for Abria and all the pregnancy centers out there that work to this end of seeing that happen. Well, we are turning the page now to talk with Sarah Prudhomme and Maggie Becker about Partnership for Youth. Sarah serves as the Director of Event Operations for Partnership for Youth and joined Partnership for Youth after 10 years in specialty retail management. She has a BA in Family Life Education and Certificate of Leadership from Concordia University. And Maggie Becker is the Outreach and Event Coordinator for Partnership for Youth. And after interning, she has now come on staff full-time and seen the powerful impact of the Steubenville Conferences, which we'll talk about as well. Sarah and Maggie, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the vision of Partnership for Youth. What is Partnership for Youth all about?
So the vision and mission of Partnership for Youth is to provide transformational Catholic events for young people. Over the course of the lifetime of Partnership for Youth so far, we've served over 65,000 young people. Our goal in the next 5 years is to serve double that amount. So we're at 130,000 young people.
All right.
And we are really about providing those opportunities for young people to encounter the love of Christ, many for the first time.
Okay. And this is through a number of different events that we have going on. I mean, Steubenville conferences, we'll get to that. But other things that you do are such as what? What do you do? Maggie?
Yeah, so we provide both event services and then Ignite events. And the Ignite events are for middle school students held at a local parish. And we usually bring in a speaker and have some fun and games and adoration. And then the event services are, we will partner with parishes and dioceses to help them to support them in organizing and putting on an event. So we'll do things from getting the speakers to getting the stage, any marketing support, whatever they might need so that they can just focus on getting their people there.
Now, I just have to ask, Maggie, since you're relatively new on staff, mm-hmm. is that right? With Partnership for Youth? Was it one of these events that actually first drew you into knowing about Partnership for Youth?
No, I actually never went to any of their events growing up.
What?
I know.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah, I had a friend who saw the internship posting on the Archdiocesan website, and she's like, I think you would like this. You like to do event planning and stuff. And I knew nothing about them. I had never met anyone on staff, but applied for it and got the internship after my freshman year of college and haven't been able to leave.
So. All right. Well, The Lord moves in mysterious ways, right?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Okay. Is this a nationwide ministry, Sarah?
So Partnership for Youth is primarily regional. Okay. Through the Steubenville conferences, we serve, it's about 19 states and youth from Canada. But we do the bulk of our ministry here within the five-state area.
Okay, got it. And why, in your opinion, now I'm really getting the expert opinion here, why is youth ministry so important?
Why is youth ministry so important? Because the youth are the future of the church. And I think getting the youth, giving the opportunity for youth to encounter Christ, particularly even at a younger age, which is why we've started expanding into middle school ministry, is to capture them and to give them that opportunity to see the beauty of the church, the fullness of the sacraments, and to be able to carry that into their young adulthood and adulthood, hopefully. There was a recent CARA study that said that the average age of children, really youth leaving the church is 13.
Oh my goodness.
So for us to especially kind of segue into middle school ministry and start capturing kids younger, it really is it's really important. It's doing important work for the future of the church.
Now, it's been a long time since I was 13 years old, but I want to ask you both, What is appealing to this generation of youth? I mean, what is really helping you to connect with them in a way that's meaningful to their lives and they become receptive to the Lord and to His church? Maggie, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, I would say that one way that we reach them is by engaging speakers, bringing a speaker up that can be on their level, but still bring them truth, someone that they can relate with. And especially when we have the speakers give a testimonial, they really seem to like that. But another thing that the youth really connect with is adoration. And that's kind of the central focus of all of our events. So we usually have at least like a holy hour, or holy 45 minutes that they can spend in relation with the Lord. And most of these youth don't have a lot of quiet time in their lives. They are always on their phones and kind of bombarded with stuff. So it really seems to be a powerful experience when they put all of that away and just get to learn what it means to be in silence with the Lord.
That's so fascinating for the very reason that you bring up, that it seems like youth, and if we're honest, maybe even some middle-aged people too,
yeah,
right, are always on their phones, always doing something, always talking or texting with somebody. And yet it's that 45 minutes to an hour that they spend with the Lord in adoration of communing in that way with all the technology shut off. You're saying they're connecting with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really seem to love that. And talking with them and kind of the feedback that we get is they all love the adoration. It seems to be a highlight of most of their experience at our events.
Yeah. Sarah, how about you in terms of what is connecting with this generation of youth?
Yeah, I think that not only that encounter with the Lord, particularly through the sacraments and in Eucharistic adoration, but also that ability through our events to be able to see kind of the more global church. Mm-hmm. A lot of time youth feel isolated. They feel like they don't maybe have friends that are in wanting to engage in their faith in that way. It might be just at the family level, or maybe their parents aren't even catechized. And so there's a real authenticity and truth, and they get to experience some of that by coming to our events. This summer, the theme of the Steubenville Conference is belong. Mm. And as Maggie was saying, I think, you know, for as engaged as people seem to be in their devices and in social media, they're really failing to form authentic relationships.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's really interesting. And so to be able to kind of put that focus back on, A, that the Lord wants to have a relationship with you, but B, that you belong in the church,
yeah.
You know, no matter how broken you are, no matter what you've done, whether or not you've given any thought to a relationship with the Lord up until that point, like, we want you, you belong. And so we're finding that youth are coming to our events and they're feeling like they can be their true selves, where mm-hmm. maybe, you know, on social media and in their schools and stuff, they feel like they have to kind of put on a facade
right.
or be someone else.
It's another excuse maybe to put on a mask, or mm-hmm. another demand to mm-hmm. put on a mask, that you present yourself in a particular way.
Right.
And you're given the giving them the opportunity to become or to be authentic with others. All right, so let's talk about some of these Steubenville conferences. I'm guessing that some of our listeners at least have heard about them before. What happens at a Steubenville conference? Maggie, how about we start with you?
Yeah, so it's a weekend conference, and we have speakers, nationally known speakers, who come and give talks throughout the weekend. We have adoration both on Friday night and Saturday night, and other just recreational time for the youth to build community and specifically build community in within their parish or their youth group that they're coming with. All of our groups are typically connected to a parish in some way, or they come as their family. But it's just a great opportunity for them to come and grow in their relationship with the Lord together.
Wonderful. And Sarah, what age people are we talking about here for the Steubenville conferences?
Yep, the Steubenville conferences serve incoming freshmen through graduated high school seniors.
Okay.
So they do need to be entering high school to be able to attend. But we do have opportunities for young adults and then, of course, adult chaperones to attend as well.
Now, I think I heard you mention that St. Paul, the upcoming St. Paul Steubenville Conference is sold out already. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got over 2,000 people registered for the St. Paul Conference, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And then we do still have some space at our Rochester Conference.
Yeah.
Held down at the Mayo Civic Center in Rochester. It's a beautiful site. And we would love for anyone who has yet to come
well,
and
hello,
experience a conference
road
to be
trip
able to join
I mean
us.
Come on.
yeah,
right. Okay, so Rochester, if people are still interested in going, if high school students are still interested in going, they can come to Rochester. What are the dates of the Rochester Conference?
The Rochester Conference is the weekend of July 12th through the 14th.
Okay.
And we would say, you know, if you're listening and you haven't been to a conference, you still might not know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Give us a call at our office. We would love to just talk with you and walk you through, you know, what it takes to get registered. It can be, a parish group that's never come before, or a group could be as small as, you know, a mom and her kids and their friends. So we would encourage you to chat with us and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the stuff, again, not Catholic at the time, but some of the things that I encountered through my congregation at that point was transformative in terms of my own relationship with the Lord. So it's really hitting people at a time that's very critical as well. Yeah. All right. So I'm assuming you have a web presence then as well. If people want to check out more, learn more online, where should they go?
And they can visit us at partnershipforyouth.org. So okay. Partnership, FORYouth.org.
Now, you don't put on these conferences just with your staff, I'm assuming. You must have some volunteers, and you must have a lot of volunteers who are helping out. Is that right?
we rely very heavily on our volunteers. We are a small office, so we have both a core team of volunteers, and then we welcome any general volunteers who are interested in coming. If they've never been to a conference, it's actually a really great way just to check out what it's all about, and we have a lot of opportunities to serve. It takes us about 100 plus general volunteers to make a conference weekend happen. So if you visit us at partnershipforyouth.org, we have more information there as well about volunteer opportunities.
Okay, so there's a lot of opportunities you have to volunteer.
Yes.
Oh, now that doesn't sound too bad, actually. Maybe that's a good way to get in. Yeah, okay. All right, wonderful. And then after this Steubenville conference, I mean, it's kind of a mountaintop experience, right? I would assume that these youth are encountering Jesus in many ways, most particularly, as you were saying, Maggie, through adoration, through this idea of sharing relationship and being authentic with one another. But what's your hope and prayer and plan for those for after this mountaintop experience? How do they carry this the fire of that faith on in through the school year? Maggie, what do you think?
Yeah, so our event, like you said, is definitely a powerful weekend. And all of our events, they're not meant to be the youth program, but we hope that they strengthen the community and encourage kids to then continue to stay involved in their parish and in their youth group. We really do want to build, we have small group time and other opportunities to build that community at our sites, at our conferences and other events. And so hoping that because they've had this encounter, because their heart has been transformed, that it really propels the youth group and all of the leaders that come, our chaperones and group leaders, who many of whom are volunteer our youth ministers, that it encourages them to stay connected with these kids and the kids to stay connected with their youth ministers.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, that's been kind of the thought all along, isn't it? That you're not meant to replace what's going on in the parish, but you're meant to support and complement everything that's going on in the parish. Is that right?
That's right. And for us, we really want our events to be an opportunity for us to take care of all of the details. So we bring in the speakers, we coordinate the event, we take care of that so that when the youth minister or the adult volunteer that's there with their group, they don't have to worry about all of those things, because we know that youth ministers wear many hats. And so for them to put something on at their parish, they might have to do everything and try to find a way to minister to their teens, where we just say, come to our event, you know, let us handle all of the details and you really be able to focus on being present to your teens.
It sounds like a great ministry that you can just turn that over to you and let you run with it, right? And you're getting some big speakers in. Anybody that we might have heard of for the St. Paul or the Rochester conference?
At the St. Paul conference this year, we've got host Paul George, and we also have Jackie Francois Angel, who will be on the St. Paul team. Down at Rochester, Paul George is actually hosting again, and then they've got Jason Everett this year.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so space at the Rochester conference.
Yes.
Still a big need for volunteers, and the website, again, is partnershipforyouth.org. Got that right? All right. Sarah Prudhomme, Maggie Becker, we thank you so much for being on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you and all the work that you're doing.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So let's go into our break. When we come back, Father John Eckert is with us to talk about the Visitation and the Ascension. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us.
This is how we sometimes look at confession. Oh, I gotta go and I gotta get rid of my sin, because if I don't, then I'm gonna be in trouble.
In Central Texas, Monty, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Marcel.
I began to wonder for myself, what if I embraced the sacrament of penance in the same way I do all the other wonderful things that the Holy Mother Church offers us? And so I began to do that, and it totally transformed confession for me. And I just really love to go to confession now. And a friend of mine gave me another tip. He said, you know, when you're sitting there and you have that anxiety and that fear about walking through that door, pray to your Holy Mother and ask her to go with you. And just like she leads us to her son, she'll take us in there, and it'll be okay. And like you guys have said, that coming out of that room, that there's no feeling like that, clean and ready to receive the Holy Eucharist. It's just the greatest thing on earth.
Maybe you should be the next guest on the show, because that was beautiful.
Experts with insight on our Catholic faith.
Morning Air, 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Praise to my God and King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, regular guest, Father John Eckert, who is a pastor of Holy Trinity Parish, serving the two churches of Holy Trinity and St. Augustine in South St. Paul. I always like to tell him something a little bit different about you, Father. So this time I'll choose. You have a license in sacred scripture from the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome, with additional graduate studies at the Ecole Biblique in Jerusalem. Is that right?
That's right. Thanks for reminding me, Patrick.
Is that a while ago now or something?
It's going back about 30 years, but I still put it to use constantly in my preaching and my prayer and some teaching. You know, I've been doing some Bible study series, as you know, throughout the Archdiocese. And so it really comes in handy. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
All right. Wonderful. Well, we are here to receive some of that gift as we're in this very important weekend. We got some great stuff going on with the Visitation and the Ascension. What do you want to tell us about the Visitation and the Ascension, Father?
Well, you know, it's interesting, speaking about these two feasts coming together. One is a celebration of Christ's ascent into heaven after 33 years here on earth, and the other, just within days of each other, is of Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Mother. And so I just wanted to say a word or two about time.
Okay.
You know, I think we can look at time both linear and cyclical. Linear in the sense that all that's related to Jesus Christ while here on earth is linear, and it follows through a progression of about 33 years. And we mark that on the calendar as best we can. So, for instance, we had the Annunciation, the moment in which Christ became incarnate. And then 9 months later, we have Christmas, when Christ was born. We fit within that context this Visitation, as best we can approximate the time frame in which the Blessed Mother visited her kinswoman Elizabeth. And so that's all linear. And then when we got to Holy Week, it's very linear. We followed Christ in his Palm Sunday procession, which was on Sunday. And then Holy Thursday evening was the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Christ died on the original Good Friday and rose on Sunday. And now 40 days later, and it was an actual 40-day period, Christ ascends into heaven. So all of that is linear, and yet in the liturgical year, which goes from Advent until the next Advent, it's cyclical, with the two great feasts of Christmas and Easter, the determining points, but then we have this overlap of the events within and around those great feasts. So I think it's wonderful. It might seem confusing at first to be having this juxtaposition of things from the first moment of Christ here on earth to his last moment and everything in between, but it reminds us that all time really should be sacred. And the Church, through her liturgical calendar and practices and feasts and celebrations, has a way of reminding us of the sacredness of time itself.
I kind of like to look at it as we're sort of ascending a spiral staircase, right? We're meant to be moving onward and upward towards a deeper relationship with the Lord, right? But through this cyclical calendar.
Absolutely.
Does that work?
Yep, that works. That okay. Works for you, and it works for me now, too.
All right, very good. So let's talk about the Visitation a little bit, if
sure.
we can. This very significant event. Obviously, Mary and Elizabeth are present, but so are Jesus and John the Baptist in utero, right? And so we
Absolutely.
Have this going on. I mentioned at the top of the show, we get the gift of the Magnificat out of this encounter as well as part of our own Hail Mary prayer. So what else does the Visitation give us?
It also gives us, really, and this is where we see the significance of the Old Testament prefiguring and preparing for Christ in the New Testament. One of the titles of the Blessed Mother is Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary is literally carrying the presence of God in her womb. And the Old Testament parallel to that, some thousand years before, or almost that much, would have been the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant that was being carried into Jerusalem. Geographically, we have that association, led by King David. Of course, the presence of God incarnate is a much more transcendental and real presence of God than the Ark, which was the throne of God here on earth. But there are so many parallels, including the presence of God, including the Ark, in this case, Mary, including the dancing and joy that takes place. Originally it was King David, but now it is John the Baptist.
Yeah. Right,
who leaps in the womb of his mother. And this is something that not all Catholics realize, but it is a formal teaching of the Church and Scriptures. In that moment that the Baptist encountered Christ, even though they were both in the womb, he was cleansed of original sin. And that was formally declared as a dogma of the Church in the early centuries, but it's really based within the Scriptures itself, where the angel said to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, that even from the womb of his mother, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So now that's a privilege secondary to that of the Blessed Mother, who was brought into existence immaculately, that is the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrate. But second to that, the Baptist was cleansed from original sin even while still in the womb of his mother. And filled with the Holy Spirit, he leaps for joy. And what an incredible, beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And all right, so again, this is taking us in our linear time minds. It's taking us back to the kind of the initial part of the incarnation. And then at the ascension, which, okay, first of all, maybe you should clear something up. 40 days from Easter Sunday is Thursday, not Sunday.
Well, all right, there
What's
we go.
What's going on there?
Well, this is where we have some liturgical finesse. And actually, I face this as a reality, because in the old calendar, it would fall 40 days and it would be Ascension Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And in many places in the world today, that is still the day in which the Holy Day of Obligation and the feast is celebrated. And in the Tridentine form of the Mass, the extraordinary form, we still follow that calendar to this day. But it was left to the discretion of the bishops as to whether or not to transfer the feast and the obligation to Sunday, to make it more available to the faithful.
Mm.
And so here and in many places worldwide, the actual feast will transfer to Sunday and rather than Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we get that little remarkable difference here. Although in some dioceses and so on, they'll still do it on Thursday. So that's up to the discretion of the bishops. And but what's interesting is that 40 days. That is significant biblically. 40 is a number that is often a period of testing and preparation. And there are a number of examples of it. We had the Israelites who wandered for 40 years. They did miserably, by and large, but they were tested for 40 years. And you know what? They probably would have made that journey in 40 days if they hadn't failed so miserably. But at any rate, our Lord, as a corrective to that, goes 40 days and nights into the wilderness as a time of testing. And then he confronts the evil one, Satan, and he successfully faces him down. We have other examples from the Old Testament of 40. King David was 40 years old when he first assumed the throne, so 40 years of preparation, and then he reigned for 40 years. And there are other examples as well, but so throughout those 40 days, Christ appeared a number of times to the apostles, disciples, and to others. And we have to assume that there are many appearances that are not recorded.
Sure.
For instance, we have to assume that Jesus would have visited his mother, right?
I think so.
I think he went there first. It's just not recorded. And there's no mention of Mary at the tomb. And I ask, why not? Well, why would she go to the tomb when she knew that her son would not be in that tomb? He would rise on the third day. So some of it's not told to us, but certainly our Lord appeared in other instances. He told the apostles many things that may not be recorded. He must have described to them such things as the agony in the garden. Otherwise, how would they record it in the Gospels? But then after those 40 days where they are strengthened and prepared, he ascends into heaven and promises them then the Holy Spirit or the Paraclete.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, St. Luke's Gospel ends with the Ascension, but he begins the next volume, the Acts, with the Ascension again as sort of the bridge point between the life of Christ and then the life of the Apostolic Church.
All right, and so tie those together for us a little bit more, because in a very real and, dare I say it, almost ontological sense, the Church takes on the divine nature of Christ and continues his ministry, empowered by the Holy Spirit and nourished by the Eucharist. Am I right on all this?
Absolutely, and we're having readings, especially weekdays now, about that early Church and how remarkable the power was of the Holy Spirit, especially in the apostles. You know, some of this subsided with the passing of the apostolic age, but they literally could command, in the name of Jesus, anything. So Peter could go up to a cripple and say, rise and walk. And he could, just as Christ would have commanded and did in his own time. And so true with the other apostles. Now, The successors of the apostles don't have that degree of power to command that Christ gave us the sacraments to continue that work of healing and so on. But in the early church, the power with the apostles and with the early communities is just incredible, and that's what we're hearing in the readings from the book of the Acts.
Mm. What does it mean that now the apostles and then, again, the subsequent church leading all the way to the present age have to continue this walking with the eyes of faith rather than the eyes of sight? You know,
right.
we're not seeing Jesus face to face.
Yeah, exactly. And while it would seem like a loss in one sense, and Christ prepared his apostles for this, he said, I will leave you, but I will leave you the paraclete. So he's not abandoned us, of course. He's left us with a visible church. He's left us with the sacraments. But he did give this commission, and this is what the ascension is all about. He gave the commission to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, and that also means till the end of time, and to all peoples, and to baptize in the name of the Holy Trinity. And so we continue that mission, we continue that work, and we have the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit, and an even greater presence is the presence of the real presence in the Holy Eucharist. And so whenever we participate in Holy Mass and we receive Christ in the Holy Eucharist, that is Christ, really and truly present, in one sense more present to us than if we could reach out and touch him in a physical form.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And again, we're looking at then celebrating the Ascension, and then my understanding is that this is where the whole idea of a novena comes from, is the time between Ascension and Pentecost. I don't know if you have commentary on that, but then that leads us up into Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Right. And once again, here's linear time.
Yeah.
That span of 10. The word Pentecost comes out of the Greek, and it means 50th. And it signifies 50 days, and that's a Jewish feast that came 50 days after Passover.
Mm.
Now it has a Christian significance. It was originally a harvest feast in which the Jewish people gave thanks to God for the first fruits of the harvest. But now it takes on that Christian significance. So again, God works through time and in time, linear and cyclical. And that 50th is significant, and we continue with that on the 50th day in every rite and form. And also, as you say, that becomes a background for novenas and for other religious practices.
Wonderful. Well, Father John Ecker, thank you for the exposition of visitation and ascension. Before we let you go, though, could we ask for your blessing as well?
Certainly. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. As usual, look forward to your next visit here on the Rediscover Our Father.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, as usual, Paul and I have a whole bunch of things that you can partake in to deepen your relationship with the Lord. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Everyone has a special place for their safe money, like the local bank, or maybe even the proverbial cookie jar. A place that's secure from losing value. At Catholic United Financial, we know a thing or two about keeping your savings safe and secure. We also know as you get closer to retirement, the last thing you want to do is lose money. If that's you and you're worried about falling markets, then consider protecting your hard-earned money with a guaranteed return no matter what the markets do. Our Bonus Plus annuity has a 3% return the first year and a guaranteed minimum return in the future with no annual sales or maintenance fees. Your money grows free of market risk and fee-free. So place your safe money with a company that honors your faith. Start an account or roll over an IRA. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe-money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Paul Sadek is sitting across the table from me, as always.
I'm always sitting here just making sure you behave yourself.
Well, you should see, I direct this to our listeners, that you should see some of the faces Paul makes at me every now and again.
Oh, well, yeah, there are plenty of them.
Well, apparently. All right, Paul, kick us off here with what we got going on.
Well, men, you're invited to the Catholic Watchman Corpus Christi Mass and Procession with a barbecue to follow. The event takes place at Maternity of Mary Church, St. Paul, on Saturday, June 22nd. Vigil Mass at 4:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. Eucharistic procession to follow. At 6:30, there will be benediction and a barbecue at Como Park. The event is free, but a free will offering is greatly appreciated. Email Men's Evangelization Manager Enzo Randazzo with any questions, randazzov@archsbm.org.
The Catholic Community Foundation invites you to their Giving Insights Education Forum, Tuesday, June 25th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Creighton-Durham Hall in St. Paul. Listen as experts discuss the extent to which Catholic education impacts our families, our parishes, and our community at large. Panelists will include a parish pastor, Catholic school parochial administrator, and the heads of the Catholic School Center of Excellence and the AIM Higher Foundation. Forums are free of charge, but space is limited and registration is required. To register, visit www.ccf-mn.org and click on events.
It's Evangelization, Saturday, July 13th, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Archdiocesan Catholic Center. Learn how to evangelize in your everyday life in easy and fun ways. This basic evangelization training includes presentations, small group discussion, practice, role playing, and more. Cost is $25 per person. That includes the full day workshop, all materials, and a light lunch. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org and register today.
Join in honoring and celebrating the 2019 Leading with Faith Award winners on Thursday, August 1st at the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Archbishop Bernard Hebda will present the awards. Look for more details and registration to come on the events page of archspm.org.
Grandparents, save the date for Saturday, August 24th, the date of the Catholic Grandparents Conference. Come and hear God's plan for grandparents and be equipped to pass on a heritage of faith. The Catholic Grandparents Conference will take place on Saturday, August 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. Conference includes keynote speaker Marianne Kaharski, founding member and director of Pro-Life Across America, as well as Father Joseph Bambanek, who will be speaking on the topic of bringing healing to your family. We'll also have an hour of adoration led by Bishop Andrew Cousins and a lot more. Find out more details and register at www.catholicgrandparenting.org.
Speaking of Bishop Andrew Cousins and upcoming Pentecost, guess who's going to be a guest on the next Rediscover Hour?
I think probably Bishop Andrew Cousins. It's always good to see Bishop Cousins.
Yes, indeed it is. He's going to be talking to us not only about the upcoming Archdiocesan Pentecost Mass, but he'll also talk to us about this Archdiocesan Synod that we have coming up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, there might be some really good and new information going on there, so I think you should probably tune in and listen to that.
I think so.
Also joining us, we're going to be talking about the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. Perhaps you've heard of that.
I have.
All right, excellent. And Linda Harmon and Barry McCullough are going to be with us to talk about the Catechetical Institute. If, folks, you don't know about the Catechetical Institute, you're going to want to...
You better find out.
You better find out. This might be just the boost that your faith needs. Right. And then finally, we'll also talk about, have you heard about this new allowing of natural burials? That's going on?
No.
Yeah, in our Catholic cemeteries, natural burials. So Joan Gesick and member of the board, Dan Delmore, are going to be with us to talk about natural burials at our Catholic cemeteries. That's what's coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour. And in the meantime, folks, I hope that you do take good opportunity to celebrate this visitation, celebrate the Ascension, knowing that our Lord continues to work great wonders in our lives in and through us through the power of His Holy Spirit. That's what it means when I say, go to church and be the church. And that's what I wish for you, friends. Go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.